You must be enlisted and understand for who and from whom we take instruction. When you catch that instruction and you catch the master's mandate, money is not the end. It becomes a means to an end. They couldn't resist that. Give me the gold. That means there is something that God has put in you that is irresistible. All that you are looking for is already prepared, waiting for you in Canaan. Canaan is industry. So get up and get into the creative space. One of the powerful things about the God we have is the way he demystifies issues. Things that people think are really big is the way he decides to solve them. God said to us that he's given to us his perfect peace this month. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. And this peace can be communicated. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." I'm talking about tranquility, stability. I told someone, I said, you come to a place where nothing moves you. You're on a storm, waters are, billows are pouring into the boat. How can a man be sleeping? You must know something or have something. That is not just a man who likes to sleep. Nobody sleeps in the face of death. But he had understanding. He was sleeping. His disciples were working hard, trying to push out the water. Because in their minds, they are wondering, carest thou not, allow me to speak King James, don't you care that we are what? Perishing. We don't serve an emotional God, we serve a loving God. I said, you need to know Jesus. And when you understand how he walks, thank you guys, I was so blessed by that song. When you see what Jesus has done, you enter into a rest. The Bible says, Jesus, don't worry, you soon sit down, spoke to his disciples, get into the boat, let us go to the other side. The Bible says midway, hallelujah, the storms came. Jesus had some very interesting things happen on the sea. On a certain occasion, the Bible says he sent his disciples. He had just multiplied the bread and the fish. He told his disciples, get into the boat, go to the other side and wait for me. The Bible said they were rowing for hours. Something that is not up to 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers. They were rowing for hours. Then Jesus said to just walk on the water. The Bible said when they saw him, they assumed he was a ghost. He said, no, it is me. Have no fear. What am I saying? Be at perfect peace this morning. He got up from the wind, from the boat, rebuked the wind. The Bible says it was still. The reason a lot of us speak sometimes and it looks like nothing is happening because we are speaking from fear. We are speaking from anxiety. There is a command in your voice that every devil in hell knows.
Be what?
Be still. They say, what manner of man is this? You know why? It is not the way you expect. Sometimes that God will handle certain things that will happen. It's the easiest thing for him to do. So he looks to the disciples and said, this peace that I have, this union that I have with God, take it. This morning, I have it. I've come to give it to you. Take it. Hallelujah. Peter received it. The Bible says he was caught. He was lying down between 16 soldiers. They were going to execute him the following day. What was he doing? He was sleeping. He had received it. When you sleep, God is mighty at work. Thank you, Jesus. And that night, the Bible says, an angel came. It was not a vision. An angel came, literally tapped him. He was so engrossed, he thought he was dreaming. Because it is too real. He thought he was dreaming. And he walked. In fact, even the people who were praying for his release, when he knocked at the door, they were praying for Peter to be released. When Rhoda went and told them that, Peter is alive, they said, keep quiet. It's his ghost you saw. Listen to me. Hallelujah. So when we say you should shout, and walls will fall, make no mistake. I always hear pastors say, it's not youthful exuberance. It's spiritual technology. A shout cannot go up and walls will stand. Hallelujah. Lift up a shout and give a long praise. Glory to God. Rabakata soka lebara sonda. Libakata raman. Lipakosa. Lipakanta yeraba. Libraga doko ribaka. La branda ki a la puta. Le ponda la sonda libraha lebon. Glory! Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for the next couple of minutes. Your spirit is here. You're giving me a word. I'm speaking it. And lives cannot remain the same. We're glad to be called your children. Honored to be gathered around the name Jesus. And to be able to search the mysteries of your kingdom. And to demonstrate them before men. I yield myself completely to you to speak like you want me to speak. I receive eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. I give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Be seated. God bless you. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm inspired to be here. I'm honored to be here. I want to, first of all, bring you greetings from my wife. My precious wife. We couldn't come as agreed. We were supposed to be here. We planned to be here together. And then it didn't work. But she will come. Because we deeply, truly love this church. And we're not lipsticking. We truly think about you guys with a lot of love, with a lot of excitement, with a lot of prayer. Amen. And when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about praying prayers of thanksgiving. You know, Paul talked about remembering you with joy. I remember this church with joy. And I came. Well, I'm here in the company of some folks. Brother Williams, God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Really, really amazing man. Great blessing to me. I've known him. Someone said, how long? Almost all my life. Well, yeah, almost all my life. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Yeah, my protocol. person. Jimmy, God bless you for being here. He wanted to carry my Bible. I said, it's not too heavy. So don't bother. As always. And I came with my son. You know. He's shy, but I was like that. Yeah. So, that's my first son. He's schooling here in Jos, and you guys have been good to him. Jos has been good to him. Amen. Dr. Karis and the first lady of this church. I want you guys to stand up and honor them. Thank you for what you do. I love you. God knows. Amen. You know, I was telling him once, I said, I'm not even sure he knows how much I love him. I truly love you. And I appreciate what you do. And from the day that I met you till today, I have not seen you diminish for one moment in pursuit of what God has asked you to do. The same energy that you rushed into my house that day is the same energy I see you with. It's the same energy I see you putting with week in, year out. It's the same energy you have brought to our podium at Christ Family Ministries. It's the same energy I know you will bring again to our podium. Thank you for being so consistent. Thank you for being a man on fire. You are burning for the world to see. You are a man of the nations. You are a man of the nations. You know, recently I was telling you that I'm going to minister somewhere. And when you were ministering at Faith Adventure, I said, Kai, I can't go to this country without this anointing. Amen. Because as I sat there and I was thinking about the meeting, I said, no, this man has to be there. And I'm glad that you said yes. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And your lovely wife. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. You guys are special and wonderful. Please be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. You know, one of the things I truly love about this church is because it's at the cutting edge of what God is doing. You see, in every generation, there's a message. Yes, sir. Not like someone said there's a different message. No, it's the same gospel. But there are different dimensions to which this message is preached. Because it's not just enough to preach a message. It's that that message must be carrying the heart of God at that time. And every time I hear your pastor talk, my spirit connects with him. I remember some years ago, God began to deal with me. You'll be blessed this morning. Because in the next couple of days, weeks, months, what some of you will be doing in this city and outside this city, are you getting me? They will say, where are these ones coming from? Part of my assignment this morning is to light your tails like Samson's foxes. Send you into the field and burn up these fields for the glory of the Lord. So something is happening to you. Some revelations and understandings are time locked. It's at the appropriate time. Are you with me? That the fullness of what is locked in that word comes to bear. What I'm saying is that there are scriptures that people can be reading. They've even used. But a time comes. Are we together? When that scripture, the Holy Spirit will unlock it. When it's unlocked, are you with me? When it's unlocked, then the full intent of that particular scripture for the moment is revealed. Look at the Bible. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, you keep reading, and we're going to look at that shortly. Because what I want to share with you is not, it's not something new, but it's fresh. The Bible says, you read the book of Revelation, you hear the first seal was broken, the second seal was broken, third seal was broken. What scripture is actually saying? Those seals are actually locked revelations, waiting for an appropriate time to be revealed. So you hear that an angel, and that angel there is not a bird, a bird being. That angel there is a messenger of God. When the Bible speaks of angels, it's talking about messengers. So ministers are anointed who will come at a point in time to unlock what is encoded in this scripture that people have always been seeing. For example, where people have always read Mark 11, 23, 24, until Kenneth Hagin was raised from the bed of death. Are you with me? Then he began to look into that scripture and he was raised. When he was raised, it became something that people even thought he wrote the scripture. So when you read Mark 11, 23, the first thing that comes to your mind is Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin. Why? Because for that scripture at that time, there is a man needed to unlock it. Now, one of the things about the office of a prophet, you know, when Pastor was talking about a prophet, I was excited. One of the things about the prophetic anointing is that it makes you a dimensionalist. And by dimensionalist, what it means is that you are able to see beyond where people are per time. Are you listening? You're able to see beyond where people are per time. Then you see what God has done and you allow the grace of God to disrupt your present spiritual experience. So you see a man like David in the Old Testament. He was a dimensionalist. He saw and wrote certain things about Christ Jesus. Walked in an understanding that the men of his time did not have. So he said, my Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my what? My footstool. Those things he was saying, they were not understood by the religious folks of his days. Which Lord is speaking to which Lord? So he says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He has an understanding. There are things he has seen. He doesn't look like anything has changed in his life. He's running around from a man called Saul who wants to kill him. He comes into a place and then he meets with the high priest. Then the high priest says, David says, we're hungry. The high priest says, well, we don't have food. The only food we have here, the only bread we have here is the shoe bread. And hear what the high priest says. He said, if you and your men have had no form of relations, carnal union with any woman, then you can partake of it. Then David says, yeah, we haven't. Give it to us. Then David eats of that food, eats of that bread, and is alive. This is a bread that if others eat, they die. There are priests who have been preserving this bread, they've never touched it. You know why? The reason they couldn't touch it is that the revelation of that bread had not come to them. But because David had seen it, by revelation it's been revealed to him that this bread is the word. This bread is man's sustenance. So beyond a physical activity, he has had a spiritual revelation. Now, based on this revelation, he could pull the future into the now and start walking in it. So when somebody is a dimensionalist, are you hearing me? One of the first things that happens is that he begins to disrupt existing protocols. It becomes difficult for people to understand him. Jesus was a master dimensionalist. I will break this temple and I will build it in 3 days. After 3 days, I raised it. They said, look at you. Do you know when this temple was built? Do you know how long it took us to build this temple? He was speaking from another what? Dimension. He was speaking from another realm, from another understanding. So you will see certain things that people were so scared of delving into, regions they will not attempt. You will see just Jesus entering there, down to using spit to heal people. He was not functioning in their time. He was living in their time. He wasn't functioning in it. There's something I want to get. I just said this to let you know. When I hear your pastor talking, sometimes not too many people that can understand him. I was in a place recently and he was ministering. I felt like running off the stage and the people were sleeping. They were not getting it. As I sat there, I woke up to him after the service. I said, look, you blessed me out of my socks. But you know why? They are still stuck. They are still stuck. Orthodox simply means something that has outlived its time. People don't know its time has passed, so they still practice it. Orthodox is not NKST, it's not Equa, it's not Cooking. It is that when the Spirit of God has moved, you are sitting back and waiting because that place was beautiful. You need to move. And about 5 years ago, the Spirit of God began to put some things in my heart to talk about. And I was telling him yesterday, and when I say some of these things in certain places, the people just go cold. Some even say, where is he coming from? And I've been to places where I've preached some messages, and the only person that said that was amazing is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But I know this message, this house is conditioned for it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Follow. And you shall remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Glory. A lot of times when people read that scripture, what they hear is, it is He who gives you power to consume wealth. He didn't say, it is He who gives you power to spend wealth. You don't need power to spend wealth. You need power to create wealth. The power of God is for productivity, not consumption. Why is this message so relevant in the times we're living in? Follow me. It's because if you have an understanding of global events, you will discover that the only thing that comes close to competing with the power of God is either political power, economic power. And you don't need to go too far to see it. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 1. There is a kingdom agenda.
Yes, sir.
We're about a kingdom.
Yes, sir.
We are pursuing something.
Yes, sir.
When I drove into this place this morning, I said there is a kingdom agenda. You can smell it.
Yes, sir.
We're not called to build synagogues.
Yes, sir.
This is a movement.
Yes, sir.
Church, do you hear me? What is happening here is a movement.
Yes,
this is not a gathering of Christians. This is a gathering of kingdom-minded men and women. We were in a meeting recently and I was telling them, the word Christian was not given to us by God. God has never called us Christians. It is people who mocked the church and were calling them little Christ. That's the meaning of Christians. He calls us saints. He calls us what? Believers. In the early church, they were called men of the way. Because they were the ones showing people the way. That is who we are. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Come and look into it. And I looked, and behold, a white horse who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, very what? Red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take what? Peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Then he says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart for wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was what? Death. And Hades followed with him, and the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. So when I woke up this morning, this is not where I wanted to take the trajectory of this message. The Spirit of God said, Arome, come and see. I'm inviting you to come and see. What are horses? Is somebody with me? Horses represent, in the Bible, spiritual powers, unseen powers that control events. Yes. It's an emblem of spiritual invincible powers that control events. So all these horses, are you with me, are actually representing spiritual forces that are activating things that are happening around us that lots of people do not know. So he said the first is a white horse. Now, I'm not a teacher of eschatology yet. But till then, but I've studied some things. One of the things about, he said the horse came to conquer, not to be conquered. But I want to talk about the second and the third horse. Now, if you're a student of history and you begin to go through the Bible, there is something that red represents. In the Committee of Nations, nations that have the flags, symbolisms of red. Listen to me. He's not talking about the blood of Jesus. He's representing what? Communism. He's talking about a system of government. Red speaks about man-made systems to cater for man. It's a representative of Nimrod. Come, let us build a tower that will go to the highest heavens, where we will take care of ourselves. There will be no God. We want to create a system where we are our own gods. Listen, when you see such agendas on television, am I talking to people here? Make no mistake, there is a horse riding through town. So you begin to hear, we don't need God. The problem is too many churches. That's a red horse riding through town. Then the second horse, he said, is a black horse. The black horse speaks about the markets. It represents markets. It represents economies. How many of you know that during the lockdown, they said churches should not meet? And churches did not meet. So we went online. But while we're online, I was thinking, I said, this is not normal. How can the whole world be shut in one place? Listen, there's a horse. Someone is riding on that horse, making decrees. That's why I said the closest thing The closest thing to the power of God that contends with the power of God is political power, governmental powers. So if anybody is saying that these things are not important, take a second look. You can't be talking about, see, the devil does not perceive the church as, the devil does not perceive the church as a religion. He perceives it as a kingdom.
Yes.
That is why everything that is regimented against the church is not done to stop a religion. It's because he sees it as the only movement that can stop him. I will build my church, Matthew 16. He says, and the what? The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So the devil knows what he's against. His problem is that he's comfortable with religion, but he's afraid of kingdom. So when you come to a place like this, where you begin to hear people teach about kingdom, something, you are rocking tables. But the second thing, the second horse is a black horse. And what is this horse doing? This horse is measuring and determining how much things can be bought. He's telling a quote for this. Look at all the currencies of the world. Have you ever seen anyone come down? So inflation doesn't really exist in its real sense. It's a coinage for your mind to keep you in poverty. There is a spirit. Oh, a wheat should be sold for this amount. This should be sold for this amount. What was a red horse doing? It was removing the peace of people, putting fear in people's heart. What is this other horse doing? It is determining how much certain things should be sold. There are such things known as market forces. Market forces are not economic terms, they are spiritual terms. There are devils that are determining what should happen, how it should happen per time. But look at what the Bible says. Are we together? He says it can touch everything. But one thing he says it shouldn't touch is the wine and the oil. Follow me. Some of you, that horse has left you. Everything in this world works through measurements. Through measurements. Ah, you can't do this yet. You can't do this yet. And listen, there are economic principles that are put in place. Hear me. The idea is not to help you get rich. The idea is to keep you poor. You must be scaled. That is the plan. You must be scaled. They want to weigh you. But there's an instruction, a clear instruction. But the wine and the oil, don't touch it. Go to verse 4. It's there. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. Can you put that up for me? Go to verse 6. Yeah. Three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. What's the oil? What's the wine? It's talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Meaning that in the times that we are in, it doesn't matter the horse that is riding through town. Anointings, marketplace anointings, are going to be thriving and defying economic principles and theories. Look into the Bible. In the same land where the Bible says in Genesis 26 that there was a famine, a man by the name Isaac went into that land and sowed. And in that land, he reaped that year what? 100-fold. Then the Bible says that's when the man began to prosper. Meaning that famine had nothing to do with how well he performed in that economy. You know why? No matter how the devil wants to ride through a city, he has strict instruction. Don't harm the oil. Don't harm the wine. Don't harm the oil. Don't harm the wine. And listen, there are people rising up from here. Untouchable.
into the marketplace. Are you hearing me? Where others are saying there's a casting down, something is happening. You are carrying oil. You are carrying wine. This is what happens when you come to church. You are not coming to have a nice time. Is that when you come to church, you receive wine. You receive oil. When you go out, there is a strict mandate by the court of heaven. Do not harm the wine. Do not harm the oil. So you are preserved. See, some of the biggest, most influential billionaires, hear me, are coming from this church. I know what I'm saying. They are coming from this church. Before the end of this year, sir, you will begin to hear some outstanding testimonies. It might have been said that Jos is a quiet city. Jos is a civil servant city. Nothing happens in this city. But there are a breed of people rising. And there is strict instruction. Don't touch the wine. Don't touch the what? The oil. You are untouchable. Yeah. Now, it is this anointing that David was talking about in Psalm 23. When he said in verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. He says, my cup runs over. Now, a lot of you are reading these Bibles. You are reading them with Western mindset, Nigerian mindset. So when the Bible says, your cup runs over, what you're thinking about is that cup by my side there that they're going to pour some juice into. No. That word cup there actually means money bag. Because as the shepherd takes his sheep and begins to move, what he does is that he transacts on his field. You see some of the herders in this country, true or false? Don't you see them have bags and they have a cutlass? I don't know the revelation for the cutlass, but I know the revelation for the bag. Are you me? They carry those bags so that if their cattle produces milk, they will sell it and then they will put the money in the bag. If it produces cheese, they will take the cheese and put it where? In the bag. If they sell any of it, any of the cattle, the money goes into the bag. So they are always moving around their business with their bag. The bag is the bank. That's what Jesus said when I sent you out. What did he tell them? He said, what did I tell you? Did I say, don't carry money what? Bags. Jesus said, don't carry what? Money bags. Because some of those shepherds, they will actually sew that bag to their cloth. So like my suit is with a pocket, this becomes my what? My bag. So what the psalmist is saying is, as I go about my day, and I do business, and I go into my activity, there is an anointing upon me. So he said, he anoints my head with what? With oil. My money bag does what? Runs over. So when he says cup is running over, he's saying that the reason this cup is running over is a function of something that is operating on my head. So don't tell me any disease is coming against the fork. Don't tell me there is austerity. Don't tell me there is inflation. Are you with me? There is something upon my head that is making my bag run over. Something is happening to you in your offices. It's happening to you in your schools. Am I talking to somebody? There is an anointing upon your head. Your money bags are doing what? They are running over. Listen, not too long from now, people start asking you, how do you make money? How do you get money? Where is your money coming from? And listen, when we are talking and ministering like this, we are preaching, something is coming upon you. I was telling them in Abuja, certain things you cannot contact through Zoom. Thank God for online church. But sometimes you have to be on site. Because babalaos, are you getting me? Politicians and businessmen who have babalaos, don't meet with them on Zoom. Are you with me? You have to travel sometime from where you are. Go where they are. You know why? Because there are certain places that when you come, there's an atmosphere around that place. Even if you don't know what you're doing, by the time you go out, you have contracted what? Something. That thing that you have contracted upon you is the reason things begin to do what? Begin to work. So maybe you're coming to this church for the first time. You are saying, I don't understand what they are teaching. I don't understand what they are doing. I don't even understand what they said last week. Just remain here. Because some things are contracted through osmosis. Are you with me? Things are leaving regions of higher concentration. They are coming to regions of lower concentration. And there is no way that you can remain the same. Do not harm the oil. And do not harm the wine. Look into it. That is why it is a fluke for a believer to enter into the marketplace and say it didn't work. Ragatusa Taliba. Man, can tell your neighbor it's working. Tell your neighbor there's something upon my head. Jacob took this anointing, this wine and oil, stepped into the house of his father-in-law by the name Laban. And Laban wanted to use him. And he was changing his salary 10 times. Now, make no mistake, church. Let me tell you. There is no man-made system designed to make the church rich. The world will never sponsor the gospel. So, any person who is in church thinking that government, there's a government in this world that will provide some form of aid to empower Christians, you are making a big mistake. There is no system like that. There is no system anywhere. Someone say, why? Because the kingdom you've entered is a government on its own. And this kingdom has its own support system. It has its own ways of operation. It's called the anointing. Oh, there's oil on my head. Oh, I didn't hear you say, there's oil on my head. My cup runs over. I told someone, I said, look at me very well. Read my lips. I can never be poor in my life again. I can. It is impossible. Go. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Praise God. A lot of time we read Matthew 24. Where is it going to all the world? Matthew 28, where is it going to all the world? That's not the only go. In Luke 19:13, give me from verse 12. We're going somewhere. Luke 19:12. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into what? A far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. What did he go to receive? A kingdom. You know why a lot of Christians are still struggling financially? Because it's about being the biggest boy in town. It's about being the biggest person in town. No, you have failed to realize it's about an agenda. I told some folks in my church years ago, some young people, I said, don't be deceived. Some people think that if you're singing in church and they don't recognize you, I've heard some people threaten God. Especially in this Middle Belt region where people are so loaded. Talents, people who know how to sing. Look at all the people making headlines. They have their roots here in the Middle Belt. They change the industry. So you think that when you get out of church and you go and start singing secular music, you think that as you arrive in Lagos, they will say, oh, you are the one that didn't allow to sing. You couldn't make it in church. Come here. It's you we have been waiting for. My brother, my sister, make no mistake. If you are not pushing an agenda there, nobody will sponsor you. I told someone, go to Lagos. There are many boys writing secular songs that have no contract. One of such boys left us and he went and he was living in Don Jazzy's house. This guy is one of the most skillful, anointed person I know. And guess what they will keep telling him? He was living in the house. They say, you are nice, you are good. But we're just looking for younger talent. The guy said, but I'm still young. He will try to explain. He said, pastor, he was later, I told someone, he said, now I understand what pastor was saying. Because if you can't enter into their territories and you cannot catch their vision, they cannot sponsor it. So when you come into church too,
The church is not a nursery. The church is an army. You must be enlisted and understand who and from who, for who and from whom we take instruction. When you catch that instruction and you catch the master's mandate, money is not the end. It becomes a means to an end. So Jesus said the man went to receive a kingdom. Then in verse 13, he gave them what? Different manners and said, go occupy till I come. New King James says, do business till I come. That word business is a word that appears only once in the whole of the New Testament. It's where we get the English word be pragmatic. That means go into the world. Go there and be deliberate with what I have given you. Be deliberate about what I've given you. Your money is not in church. It is your anointing. It's the anointing you need that is in church. Your money is in the world. So what has been happening in church is that we have taught prosperity to mean when you give, it shall be what? Given unto you. Which is true. But this is the impression. So I go to pastor and I give to pastor. And when I give to pastor, hello, I begin to scout the environment to look at any brother who is looking good and well, whom God can use to be a harvest to me. So since I've been coming to that church, I have raised my offering from 500 to 1,000. And yet nobody in that church has ever given me 10,000 naira in the midst of my need. Your harvest is not in church. Thank God three people clapped. It doesn't change anything. Your harvest is not here. When the lamb was slain, in the night the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt, God didn't say, after you have applied the blood, go to the house of your neighbors. Go and read Exodus 3. He didn't say, go to a fellow Jew and demand from him articles of gold. No. That is why we are here, not sharing industry testimonies. Because we are doing house to house. We are building a community where we are recycling wealth. A brother is here, he wants to sell cars. The first people he's thinking should be his potential what? Customers are his what? Church members. So church, I'm doing this business. Do what? Patronize me. Your money is not in church. You know, pastor, I just opened a boutique. I just opened this boutique. Come and bless it. And probably just let the church know that I'm doing something here. What they're saying is that anytime you want to buy something, do what? Tell the church to come here. No. Mm-mm. Your money is not in church. You are anointed to enter into Egypt and bring the money. So Moses speaks to the children of Israel by way of command. Tell the people, Exodus 3, go to the Egyptians and do what? And demand from them. Demand from them articles of gold, articles of silver. So he prioritizes what you should make demands for. And listen to me, you need an anointing to make such demands. Because this is a slave who's been beating your grandfather, beating you on the back. Are you getting me? Then a lamb has been slain. And then by the power of that blood sacrifice, he tells you, have no fear. Don't be a coward. Stand upon that sacrifice right now. Move into that house and look at that same taskmaster and say to him, I want what? I want the gold that I saw in your closet the other day when I was cleaning it. I want your what? And your silver. And God said, they will not be able to resist you. So can I talk to someone?
Your money is out there in the world, and a sacrifice has been raised on the cross called Jesus that has dislodged the forces. That's why I read to you the horses. That means all those horses that have been riding, are you with me, trying to stop you from prospering. The good news is this: through the sacrifice of Jesus, their power and influence over you is now what? Is now broken. An anointing has come upon you. So arise. After this service, where should you be on a Monday morning? You should be in the world there doing what? Demanding for what? Is yours. Demand for what is yours. So the cowardice of certain Christians is to find solace in church. Because it's only Christians you can bully. See, start thinking of your $10, the Bill Gates. You have to start thinking of what you can bring to make a demand from them. Because power is not given, power is taken. Do business till I come. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists, you know what he said? That one of the greatest tools for evangelism that will bring in the highest number of souls in this end time is going to be the marketplace people. He said it. Your pastor is always saying, the demons are no longer where? In church. Where are they? They're in the marketplace. But it's not so you'll be afraid of them. Where did David's victory come from? It's not by killing fellow brothers. It's by confronting what? Goliath. So some of you have to start looking at Goliaths on the field and rise up to speak to it. And the Bible said they couldn't resist them. That means there was something. They couldn't resist them. Give me the gold. That means there is something that God has put in you that is irresistible. Joshua chapter 5. You know, part of what we do in church, part of what we attempt to do in church sometimes is to try to make everybody a pastor. So even the way we structure our Bible school is so that you are tailored to be a pastor. So that you can become a pastor. That's why the greatest aspiration of certain Christians is when will I become a pastor? No. We should have School of Entrepreneur, Anointed Entrepreneur Studies enshrined in our curriculum. You didn't know jack about business. When you come here, you should be trained in church to go out. Look at the parables that Jesus taught. They were business-based principles. Look at the kind of people he picked to define the new priesthood. They were not regular people. Activists. Fisherman. Thank you. Agboro fisherman. Hairstylist. Cocaine pushers. That's what a tax collector is. Imagine Dr. Kari starting church and then he goes, I don't know, where are the bad boys in Jaws? Okay, he doesn't even know. And you go there and say, this guy, this one with Igbo, you are going to be my next. You are going to be one of my strong men. When Peter left his fishing nets to follow Jesus did not say,
No. Come on, follow me. Don't do anything again. No, no, no. He said, don't throw your skill sets away. You are fishers. You have been fishing. He didn't say you no longer be a fisherman. He said, now I will change the object of your profession. You will now be fishing for what? For men. Same skill. Joshua chapter 5. Then I say a few more things and I stop. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month of twilight in the plains of Jericho. See this. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover. Notice, they did what? They ate of the produce. Unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Look at verse 13. And it came to pass. Amen. No, go back to verse 12. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had what? Manna. But they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Hey. The Bible said, then the manna ceased. Who was giving them manna? Manna is the food for men in wilderness. Manna doesn't fall in Canaan. Should I tell you what manna is? That's why a lot of us share manna testimonies. That's how I sat there. I didn't do anything. No. I just said, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord. Lord, remember me. And the Lord remembered me. The Lord remembered me. Pastor, I came to tell you that the Lord remembered me. Manna. You don't do anything for manna. Manna is a training process to depend daily upon God. So you sleep, you wake up, sir. Manna comes. And that's where a lot of Christians are. It's been a long time, nobody has given to me. Manna. But where are you headed? He didn't bring you food to end in the wilderness. It's Canaan. Do you know the meaning of Canaan? Canaan means a place of industry. So when he said, I'm bringing you to a land that I'm bringing you to the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. What is he saying? I am bringing you to a place of what? Industry. That means the milk is in some cow. And the honey is in some bees. So by the time you arrive in your Canaan, you'll be so disappointed. Because instead of seeing a river flowing, and you say, that's river honey, and that's river milk. Guess what you'll be seeing? Mooing cows. Then you'll be seeing what? Buzzing bees. But make no mistake, hallelujah. That is where the abundance is. Am I talking to somebody? Because until manna ceases, the church will be beggarly. And we'll be contending with the forces that are trying to stop our kingdom. Stop crying. My uncle refused to give me money. There was a time, he said, there was a time I remember, God, where are you? Lord, I need you. Oh, I need. Stop crying. He has not left you. He's only saying, hallelujah. Now that manna has stopped flowing, it's time to grow up, brother. It's time to grow up, what, sister? And stop looking at opposition. Stop looking at things as issues. And begin to see the opportunities that exist in problems. Am I talking to someone? Because the more the problem, the bigger the honey. Am I talking to somebody? The greater the bees. The greater the bees. The greater the honey. Now you need to employ wisdom. You need to employ skill. Are you getting me? Somebody will need to get up in the morning and go to that cow. Are you getting me? And then by the anointing of God's Spirit, begin to pull something out of that cow. Because all that you are looking for is already prepared, waiting for you in Canaan.
Canaan is industry. Go and check your Bible. That's what it means. So when the Bible says it is he who gives you power to get wealth, go and check that word, power to get wealth. The word to get there is the word asah, which means the ability to bring something out of an already existing thing. Now, when you read the story of creation, first of all time, and you hear the Bible say, and God made on the fourth day, he made on the seventh day, he made on this. I mean, you know, he kept making. Go and study your Bibles. I know some of you are good students. This is a good touch. There are two words used to translate it as create. One is bara. The other one is asah. Bara means to bring something out of nothing. Asah means to do what? Bring something out of an already existing thing. So you see where God created the firmaments. Before he created the firmament, the Bible tells us that he first created the waters. Then he reached into the waters and formed the firmament. And that word there, formed the firmament, is the word asah. Meaning from what was already existing, he reached into it and brought a firmament. One called sky, the other one called waters of the earth. Meaning that right now, around you, seven times the Bible says God asad. Three times he said he did what? He barad. Meaning God's preferred way of getting things into our hands is not by money appearing in your boot. Not that he can't. He will. I told my office staff, the Bible says, you know, a lot of times many of us are waiting for the stirring of the water. But they fail to realize that it's only stirred once a year. It is stirred only once a year. See, these days we want water to be stirred every day. No, the Bible says it's stirred once a year. And guess what? The chances are very tight because only the first person to enter. So why would you live your life based on once a year stirring that takes only one person when there's a word that can light upon everybody that everybody can enter into? Hear me. There is a tangible anointing upon your pastor here to bring every one of you, as he's teaching you, to bring every one of you to a place of industry. That's what, as he's teaching, anybody that keys into it, whether the water is stirred or not, you can key into it and you will determine the results. So write down the five things. I said all this to just say this with you. Amen. It's okay to begin with a salary, but it should soon end. Salary is good. But if you are still going on strike after 3 years of being in this church, I know I'm hitting some salary. Salary is manna. Because manna has periodic time frame. So your own manna comes once a month. Is that not even worse? Let me tell you what happens with salary. Make no mistake. Your salary is actually you being paid every day. But it's accumulated and given to you at the end of the month. Boom. For you to break out of where you are, if you are paid 100,000 naira a month, sir, break it into 5 days a week. Break it, that's 25,000 naira a week. If you are paid 100,000 naira a month, in a week, what they are paying you is 25,000 naira. In a day, 5 days a week, they are paying you what? 5,000 naira. If you work 10 hours on the job, they are actually paying you 500 naira per 1 hour. What they are saying is that give me 1 hour of your life so that I can give you 500 naira. If you think like this, you will know that you are better than where you are. That means you can step out and increase your value per hour. And you have more time to do other things. So write down the five things. I call them the five pillars of economic recovery and mastery. Did you get it? Number one. Church, participate in the what?
in the creative process. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you get it this morning? Find a space on the field and participate in the creative process. When you tell a Jewish man, when you read Genesis 1, 26 to 27, where the Bible says God created man in his own image and likeness. Hear this. For a Jewish man, to be created in the image and likeness of God does not mean you're a human being. It means that you are a co-creator with God. It means that God is the creator of the world. You are the creator in the world. God creates wood. You create furniture. God creates elements. You bring out plastic. God creates sand. You bring out chips. That means to be created in the image and likeness of God is that there is a creative ability of God in you, that you can reach into anything and bring out something. Hear this. There's a way the Jews think. The Jews believe that this world is not perfect, that God did not give us a perfect world, that God created the world imperfect and gave it to us, and he gave us the task of perfecting it. Meaning that the best of this world is not seen until a man comes on the scene. How much more the new creation? So listen, some of you are going to come out with technologies. Some of you are going to come out with ideas. Because what is existing right now is not all there is. So start thinking. And this thinking I'm talking about is not mental thinking. You begin to interface and intercourse with the Holy Ghost. This is what Jacob was doing. When he was tired of salary, he got into the creative world process. I was telling Pastor, I have a young man in our church in Abuja. Nice young man. I was preaching. I don't even know what I was preaching. He said, Pastor, I have seen it. He said, I have seen it. His nickname is Rich Boss. Let me call it. So when you start seeing his billboard here, you will know that I talked about him. Rich Boss said, I have seen it. I have seen it. See, what you see is up to you. I didn't know what he saw. He said, I've seen it. I've seen it. See, Rich Boss reality. So he designed his logo. He just went and met a friend. He designed a logo and sent the logo to me. So he sent a logo to me. He said, Daddy, this is my logo. So when I saw it, I was so excited. I put it on my status. I thought he had registered it. When I put it on my status, he said, so Daddy believes in this thing so much to put it on his status. What am I waiting for? He headed for registration. They celebrated their 1 year last 2 weeks. He brought his staff. There were about 18 of them into my office. He said, these are company legal advisor. These are this. I'm not bragging. In the last 8 months, money enters my account every day. Even yesterday night. Through him. I was always praying for him. To be honest, anytime he sends money, I will pray. So I just stopped. I told him the other day, I said, whatever you are looking for, you have found it. This, see, I will show you. Why will I come and lie to you here now? Every day, he connected my account to one of their business lines. He said there's a percentage. Every time he enters there, he must enter my account. Last year, he was at our meeting, the gathering. He was sharing his testimony. They sold over 150 plots. When they came at the 1 year, he was telling me that, Pastor, we are registered with the likes of Cosgrove. Their billboard will be up this month. He said, we are putting up 4 billboards. We want to be where Cosgrove and the likes are. He would talk to me and say, Daddy, I've entered this thing, forget it. He's a 23-year-old man. He's running so fast, I'm stabilizing him sometimes. I say, calm down. You know, he was talking in church last week. When he was talking to us in December, I said, I'm not from a rich home. I'm not, my parents are not. He said, I came to this town, I was sleeping. He met me. He read Higher Life magazine in ABU and started looking for me. I know there's a way that when the heart is yearning for something, God orchestrates your path. He was posted to Benue to serve. From Benue, he was posted to Boko. From Boko, he located church. Last year, he moved to Abuja. If you see the people he's talking with, you know why? If you sit down there talking, you will never discover what lies in the unknown. What you are afraid is afraid of you. You know what those lepers said? If we stay here, we would die. If we go there, they might kill us. But we have an option there. If they don't kill us, we'll find food to eat. What I'm saying in essence is this. Are you getting me? There is no need wasting where you are for the fear of the unknown. And what you fail to realize is that the sacrifice of Jesus has paralyzed the opposition on your behalf. So if you don't move, it actually shows that you have no faith in the sacrifice you sing about. So the proof that you have faith in the sacrifice is that you will stand up and engage the system. If you don't engage in the creative process, you have no share in it. Church, get up. Get into the what? The creative space. Get into it. You are not just plaiting hair. Get into it. That's the first thing. Enter the creative space. What you don't start never becomes big. It must be started for it to become big. Will you experience challenges and fall? Yes. You know why? Because falling down doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. Babies that are afraid of walking, afraid of falling, have never walked. You know why? Because they've never fallen for those muscles to receive what? The strength to push. See, falling down is just proof that something is working. It doesn't mean you are a failure. It just proved that something is working. It means that you have started moving. There was a time you crawled. There was a time you sat. If you fell, it means that you have transitioned. You have transitioned from walking, from lying down. You have transitioned from crawling. So falling does not mean you are weak. Falling means I have changed. Because in your comfort zone, are you getting me? Nothing extraordinary happens. Nobody falls by crawling. Nobody falls by sitting. So if you are falling, it means you have made up your mind that you are not going to sit where you've always sat. You are going to walk. Somebody get up. Are you with me? And say, I am doing what? I am walking. Get involved in the what? Creative space. You are a co-creator with God. There are companies busting out everywhere here. Oh, leave those hands. Marabaka Sataliba Halimo. Jacob didn't sit down. He engaged the creative space. He sat down one day and said, hey, now so you go continue. I told somebody hunger can be good. Because it's how you coin it. A man who doesn't know how to coin hunger, are you with me? Will turn around and get into evil. A man who knows how to coin hunger will call it a fast. Then the Holy Ghost will begin to operate. Everything is coinage. Listen to me. What people call discipline and exercise, I walk out. You know how big I was now the last time I came here. So I started walking out. When you walk out, it is the same. You know those punishment they will tell us to do in school? It's the same thing. Now I'm the one deciding on myself to punish myself. So call it punishment all you want. How you mean? But I've discovered that certain muscles will not come out. Certain things will not develop if you don't go there and rise. I remember when some seniors would say, do this. And guess the name I gave them. These are some of the most wicked people I've met in my life. Now on my own, I'm the one calling my wife. See that? Stand here. Are you getting me? Let's go. Are you getting me? Let's touch. Are you getting me? Why? It's perspective. So suffering is perspective. A lot of you, when you are going through some things, getting up to go to the office is punishment. But for another person, are you getting me? The labor of the sleep of a laboring man is what is sweet. So you must condition your mind and begin to perceive things what differently. These hands have unique fingerprints because they were not designed to beg. The uniqueness of the prints shows the uniqueness of what God has asked you to do. And don't ever say a place is too full. You know why? Because no matter what anybody is doing, there is a way that you would do it that is unique to you. And the world will never experience it until you do it. So when we talk about getting into the creative space, we're not saying do something that somebody has never done before. It's that there is a DNA in how you do yours. Pepsi is different from Coca-Cola. Am I talking to somebody? They might have the same color. So get up, are you with me? And get into the creative space. See, the unbelievers that have money that you see, you know the truth? They are not half as intelligent as you are. They are only more bold than you are. So you don't dominate people, you dominate resources. Number two key for economic recovery and mastery is that you must protect your private property. Protection of private property. Genesis 2:19. Quickly. Can you give me Genesis 2:19? Hallelujah. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. What you don't name has no identity. Let me explain. See, until you personalize what you have, you cannot generate value from it. What do you have here? 5 loaves and 2 fish. We have just bought what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do you have in the hand? Your servant has nothing save a little jar of oil. And if you keep treating that, what you have as that, it will not produce miracles. You have to put a name to protect what is yours. Imagine this church doesn't have a name. Nobody will be here. They say, where is that church? It's by the roadside there. Because what God gives to you, you must give a name. Now, some of you have been plaiting hair. I don't know why my heart keeps going there. You've been selling clothes. You say, this is what I am doing. Why you are waiting to enter into immigration? You get me? That's what I'm doing. I'm just doing it to waiting. I met a guy who makes suits in Makurdi. Very good. If you see where those suits are coming from, the little space where it's coming from, Reverend Ayeni told me that if you go to China and you see some of the big products we are using here, if you see the industry, if you see the that they are coming from inside cubicles, is the name. Because the moment you give something a name, it takes on an identity. And listen to me, everything will begin to respond to it. If I say, Wulu, Wulu, come here. Did anybody come? You know why? There's nothing like Wulu, Wulu. But is there any Moses here? If I say, Moses, come. Are you getting me? Moses, stand up. Do you have a Moses here? Look at Moses there. Amen. If I have something I want to give to Moses, are you hearing me? The only way he can come is because there's an identity. Life does not deliver to anything that doesn't have an identity. See, the day you go and register your company and give it a name, you'll be amazed where help will begin to come from. Heaven will respond to it. God brought whatever he created to Adam to see what Adam will do, what? Call it. What are you calling your business? It's the same 5 loaves that they say, what is there in these 5 loaves and 2 fish? It's the same loaf. Jesus, what did Jesus say do? He said, give it to me. Marakusata. Look, I don't like Nollywood. I don't. It's a waste of... Sorry, before. You know, to sit down. You know, sometimes when I see people watching Nollywood, I'm like, we are more intelligent than this. But guess what?
One guy came all the way from UK and said, "This Nollywood, there's something that can come out of it." And I said, "You are having movies, I'll help you market it. I'll create a platform. Iroko TV, an online TV." They were interviewing him on CNN. He was saying, "Look, if you see the Nigerian film industry, it's the second largest film industry in the world." What he was doing was he was protecting his property.
Yes.
He was giving it a name.
Yes.
Right now, that company, are you getting me, is worth over 20-something billion naira. It's a name that turns trash to treasure. So you are sitting here as a pastor, as church members. Pastor, let me ask, how many of you have business names to what you are doing? If you don't know what to call it, let me help you. Just name it Aromea and Sons. For a start, it will assume my character. Am I talking to somebody? But you must give it a what? A name. If you are selling palm oil, call it oil and gas. Are you with me? Listen to me. You must add something to it. You must give a name to it. You must have a business name. Then go the extra mile and domicile it with the Corporate Affairs Commission of Nigeria. See, the day you start thinking like, I have a company, something will change in you. Thank you, Lord. If you don't name it, you don't own it. You're only doing it. Sir. River Niger. How many of you know Niger is not a Nigerian word? A man had a company in UK called the Niger Company. Niger is an English name. He came, saw a river, and said, I'm the one that discovered this river. I was in Zambia, I went to Lusaka. No, to Livingston, the Victoria Falls. Truly a wonder. I was looking at the Victoria Falls, and there's this stone image of David Livingston. And they say, here's the man who found the Victoria Falls. I say, eh? Are you saying that man was born there? This is an Englishman, an anthropologist. And guess what? The moment he named it, he sold it to the queen. That's why every one of us who goes there for tourist attraction, everything we pay to enter that place, there is a percentage that goes to the queen. What you own, you have a share in. So you must name it. How did we get the name Nigeria? Is this same Niger man that said he found this area and called it the Niger area and went back and sold it to the queen? If you are a Nupe person who has been staying by Niger, am I talking to somebody? Haven't your great-grandfathers been fishing there for years? But you see, because they didn't give any name to it, they didn't own it. See, you can have something with you. Somebody will come and name it. The moment he names it, he lays claim to it. So naming is an act of faith. Put a name to what you guys do. Let us come here when we are standing. Are you with me? And we say, so-and-so IT company, so-and-so company. And if turn your first car to your official car, then brand it. So when you're parking cars on Sunday, am I talking to someone? If it's a bike, let it be your first official bike. Do a logo. Do a logo. Put on it. When you come and stand as you are going out, look at the church. You say that church is like there are more companies than people. Listen to me. You begin to, something will happen to you. When you are leaving, I mean, you say, yeah, me, I've not finished school, I want to serve. Serve what? Serve what? That whole service thing is a condition. It's somebody that told you that you have to serve. Who said you must serve? You can be in 100 level. Listen, my cousin was in 100 level. She gave me my first 50,000 naira as a student in 200 level. Years ago. When she even gave me the money, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm baking cake, making ice cream for them. She put a name to it. See, students can be driving official cars here. If you don't have a car, if you enter a keke, tell the guy, can I put this logo here? Can I put this label here? Make sure that is the guy you are calling every Sunday. If you are coming to church, call the guy. He doesn't know what you are doing. You have employed him. You put it on it. You drive it. You come with it. Very soon from keke, are you getting me? You'll be driving your first car. Then very soon you will have branded buses bringing people from all over this city. You know why? The world might not like your message, but they cannot deny your value. And listen, you will begin to employ people who are not even born again. You employ them, you are delivering on values. Attach a name to what you are doing. You are selling goats, I'm just raising goat. I'm just raising chicken. Just one small poultry by the behind my house. Give it a name. It doesn't become big to get a name. It becomes big because it has a name. Sir, you are a medical doctor. I know there are doctors here. The hospitals, you know, there are doctors who work in general hospital. Then they have their own clinic somewhere, private hospitals. Is it the same attention they give the private hospital that they give the one here? What you don't own, your creative juices don't flow. You'll be surprised how you begin to think when you own your own. I'll give you the rest another day. Stand up. So I'm giving you an assignment. In the next 6 weeks. See, sometimes we get too spiritual. We say this name is the Lord that downloaded it. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I was talking to my friend, Stephen Akubo. He said that, Kai, he wants to start a work, but he's thinking of the name to give it. I said, wait upon God. He said, go away. You think this Christ only, no be you for mom. I said, God gave it to me. He said, forget that thing. You formed it. While you were praying, you formed it. Christ Family Ministry. You gave it that name. You know, a lot of times we like to say, as I was praying, Rabaga Giga Kupa Rashanda Lakosa. I saw flashes. I said, Lord, what are you saying? Talk to me, Lord. Are you getting me? Then the Lord said, my son, calm down. Tarry with me 4 more hours. Then as I was blasting, Marabako Satala, I looked and behold, the Lord said, amen, Estil United. Are you getting me? Or you bring out one name. Are you getting me? Colossus. You don't need anything like that too. Sit down. Are you getting me? That thing that defines your identity, the way your mind is responding to it. The Bible did not tell Adam what he should call it. The Bible says whatever Adam called it, that was the name. So God leaves you with the prerogative to choose what you want to call it. In the next 6 months, if you are making shoes, if you are making, don't look down on it. Register it. Bring it to pastor and say, this is a name. I am the first staff. I am the CEO. I am the owner. Are you getting me? Let him put his hands upon that blessing and then don't stop there. Move from there. Go to the Corporate Affairs Commission here in Abuja. Pick a form and do what? And register. You know why? If you don't, tomorrow you will see somebody doing the thing you were dreaming of 2 years ago. Lift your hands up. Thank you for giving me time. Lift those hands up. 6 weeks from now, every person with a lifted hand here should have a registered company. Then let their official cars begin to come. Let the empires begin to rise. Let the empires begin to rise. See, just will not deny the influence of your pastor. Are you mean? They will say that is one of his products. That, look at one of them there. Say that company, that pharmacy there, that hospital there. It is from that church. It's Glory Zone. Am I talking to somebody? There is something happening in that place. Then kings will begin to come to the what? The brightness of your rising. It is time to rise. It's not where you were born. You are born of God. Lift your hands up to heaven. I see schools. I see industries. Institutions. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. There's an anointing I brought here this morning. Take it right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, your voice will no longer be silent in your family. It will no longer be silent in your community. It will no longer be silent in your state. It will no longer be silent in this country. God has made you a worldwide blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That idea in you, receive expression right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, go into the house of the Egyptians. 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 No more loitering around. Power has come. Influence has come. Authority has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Lift up your voice. Give the Lord a shout. Oh, one more time. Hallelujah. All over this place, there's a revival. Give the Lord a shout.
Glory.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.